those 42 verses in the time constraints that we have this morning, but there are some wonderful truths here that I want you to see with me in John chapter 4. On a bright sunny day in November of 1973, as President John Kennedy rode in a motorcade through the streets of downtown Dallas, an assassin's bullet rang out, and the youngest man ever to be elected President of the United States was assassinated. Within a matter of hours, the message spread to the ends of the earth. 6 years later, 1969, American astronaut Neil Armstrong landed his lunar module on the surface of the moon, and as he stepped from that space capsule on the surface of the moon, the first time an American ever stepped on the surface of the moon, he sent those words back to the earth. That's one giant step for man and one giant leap for mankind. With a matter of hours, the message of an American landing on the moon had spread to the ends of the earth. And yet 2,000 years have passed, and there are multitudes, literally millions upon millions, hundreds of millions upon hundreds of millions, who have not yet heard that the Son of God left heaven to come to planet Earth. There are multitudes in spiritual darkness who do not know that a Savior, Christ Jesus, has been born, who lived a sinless life, who died an atoning death on the cross, and who came alive on the third day that we might be reconciled to God, have our sins forgiven, and receive from Him the gift of God, which is eternal life. How can this be in light of our marching orders? In light of the fact that our Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus, commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the good news to all the creation? How can it be that the tragic news of the assassination of President John Kennedy was known worldwide within a matter of hours? How can it be that the news of an American landing on the surface of the moon was known around the world in a matter of hours, and yet there are hundreds of millions who still dwell in spiritual darkness, though we've had our commission before us for some 20 centuries? I want to suggest this morning that a partial answer, not a full answer, but a partial answer, will be found in our text for our consideration this morning. This morning I want you to think with me about this subject, three respectable sins. Because I believe we find in John chapter 4, in the actions, or I might more correctly say, the lack of actions on the part of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, sins. Sinful actions, sinful attitudes that are still found in the church today. And yes, still found in the hearts of some who are members of Lakeview Baptist Church. I call them respectable sins, not because they're respectable in the sight of God, because in God's sight there is no respectable sin. Our holy God hates sin. But I call them respectable sins because they're not in that category of sins that we think of as wicked sins, murder, stealing, idolatry, adultery. I call them respectable sins because so many people are guilty of these sins, and yet we think none the worse, even though they're found in our lives. Now, look with me, first of all, in the Word of God. John chapter 4. It's a long passage, so you're going to have to engage yourself in this account of Jesus talking about the living water to a fallen Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. That's John the Baptist. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. Let's just pause right there and do a little geography lesson.